The deliberations begin today in the Diddy trial. Dean Richards has more on that and all the entertainment news. Good morning, Dean.
Yeah, good morning. And also, just real quick, big shout out to everybody who came out to the Pride Parade yesterday. We were out there on the float, and so many people, you know, talked about telling me how much they enjoy our segment here every morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
now that I know they're listening, I'll do a much better job.
Yeah, now that we the pressure's on, now that we know that people are actually paying attention to what we're saying.
All right.
So thank you very much for that. Yeah, today is the first day of deliberation. We don't know what's going to happen, really. He is charged with sex trafficking and racketeering, conspiracy. Prosecutors say that he used power, violence, and fear to perpetuate a network of kidnapping, interstate transportation for forced prostitution, and forced labor. If he is convicted, it could mean a life sentence in prison for Sean Diddy Combs. So we will see how that all shakes out today. The deliberations will begin Chicago time around 10 o'clock this morning. So,
a lot of people went to see the new Brad Pitt movie, didn't they?
Sure did. I think most people agreeing, the people that I heard from, I mean, I get reviews of my reviews, usually, you know, beginning Friday when people start to go see the movies that I tell them about. I gave this new movie F1 a B-. I thought it was good, not great. And I think a lot of people, you know, felt the same way. Some who are big Formula One fans loved it way more than I did. Some who are not into racing at all hated it way more than I did. But I think most people thought, you know, performances were fine. The action was fine. Everything in it was fine. But it was fine enough to be the number one movie. Took in $55 million for the opening weekend. That dropped How to Train Your Dragon down to the number two spot, followed by Pixar's Elio and Megan Point 2.0. I thought would do better. Horror movies this summer have been doing really well, but Megan 2.0 only got to number four, and then 28 years later in the number five spot.
We saw F1, and you know what? I agree with you. Good, not great. I think if you are into racing and yeah. know a lot about it, it's a great movie. If you don't, you learn a little about it, but it's also confusing, and then it's only a good movie.
Yeah, it can be. You know, it's kind of cool that they can put you right into the driver's seat like that, that you get the driver's perspective of what it's like to be going 180 miles an hour. But that's been done so many times in so many racing movies, and I'm not really sure that it's such a great novelty anymore. I would have personally, and I hate when critics do this, so I'm hating while I'm actually doing this, I'm hating that I'm doing this. I hate when critics say what they would have done if they were making the movie. Uh-huh. It's not what it's about. But I would have liked to have known what made all of these people tick.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have known what motivated them to do all the things that they did. But Brad Pitt's performance was fine. This young English-Nigerian actor, Damson Idris, plays the young driver to Brad Pitt's veteran driver. He was quite good in the movie. Javier Bardem was fine. All in all, fine movie. I mean, you're not going to go wrong if you go see it. See it on a big screen if you can. That'll enhance it a little bit. But, mm-hmm. you know, good, not great.
Well, you bring up a good point about getting into what makes these guys tick. And they touch on it. Brad Pitt, in fact, near the end of the movie, it's a nice scene where, you know, he says it's not about the money. But, yeah, what is it about? We want more of that.
Yeah.
One thing's for sure, though, when you leave the movie, you'll want to drive 100 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when you're going to leave the theaters, get right on the Kennedy Expressway. Well, you won't be able to go more than 10 miles an hour on the Kennedy right now. But under normal conditions, you would be able to go faster.
There was a Grease screening that was kind of interesting the other day. Tell us about this, Dean.
At different places. We do it here in Grant Park. In Los Angeles, they did one of these special outdoor screenings of a classic movie up on a big screen. They did it at the Hollywood Bowl, which is a pretty big deal. And they had some of the cast members from the original Grease movie there. A surprise to the cast members and to the audience when John Travolta showed up, Danny Zuko, and he showed up dressed like Danny Zuko, and he looked pretty good. You know, I was when I had first heard about this, I thought, well, you know, this is going to be kind of sad all these years later. Somebody showing up stuffed into a leather, you know, outfit. You know, John looked fantastic. He had a kind of a slicked back, you know, hairstyle and, you know, wowed the audience and, you know, talked a little bit about the movie. And then they watched the original with him and the late Olivia Newton-John. It's funny to say the late Olivia Newton-John, but that's such a good movie and such great songs. And interestingly, you know, I was playing some clips of this here in our newsroom this morning, and some of the younger people in our newsroom, who probably weren't even born when that movie came out, were so familiar with it. Grease, you know, and I said, how do you even know this movie or this musical or this music? It was performed in their high schools,
right?
High school musical plays that they had done through the years. So I think this is you know, a movie that transcends generations and made me feel less old.
Yeah. Now to the big wedding in Venice, Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. Now I heard that because they announced a big donation to the community, that some of the people there, or most of the people there, were not that critical of what went on. Did you hear that?
Yes, that did soften the blow a little bit, because they were expecting there to be an onslaught of protesters, basically the haves and the have-nots. And this was a really, really lavish haves kind of wedding. You know, so the protests were going to be, so many people don't have anything, and you people are having this ridiculously extravagant wedding. So Bezos, you know, probably peels off, you know, I don't know, probably $1 million in pocket change that he was walking around with, and made a huge donation to a charity there, and that quieted some of the protests down, at least a little bit. And they were able to get their, you know, the guests began to arrive late last week. The wedding itself was Friday night. I thought that Lauren Sanchez looked absolutely beautiful in her gown, which shows how little I know about fashion, because shortly thereafter on social media, she got trashed for her wedding gown that she was wearing.
Well, what was wrong with it?
I don't even know how to describe. You know, I'm not a. I can't tell you the designer. It was a beautiful, beautiful, lovely, formal, flowing white wedding gown that Katie Couric, you know, former TV anchor, said, "Welcome back." Oh, she said, "Tacky is back." Welcome to the 80s, when big hair and conspicuous consumption ruled. I don't know how you get that interpretation.
Katie didn't get invited, apparently.
Beautiful, lovely dress that she was wearing. It's on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine. If you go online, you can see what this looks like and make up your own mind on the whole thing. I thought she looked lovely. Apparently, I'm an idiot also. So, you know, they have the wedding on Friday, and Saturday they had, I don't know if it's technically the reception, but then they had the big party for all the VIPs that showed up, like Oprah and Bill Gates. The Kardashians were there. The Jenner family was there. Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Brady, Usher, the list goes on and on and on and on. But the theme of the party, the reception essentially, on Saturday was wear your best pajamas. So these 200 guests all showed up in their fanciest sleepwear. And
well, it's comfy.
Dance the night away. I can't think of any place less I would rather be. A destination wedding, number one, is never any fun.
Yeah.
But a destination wedding where you have to show up wearing, you know, pajamas.
That was better than wearing formal wear.
Well, I don't know. I think I would rather wear a tuxedo than...
Finally, let's talk about one of the founding members of Chicago, and what a great guy Lee is.
Lee Locknane is just one of the best. He, along with Robert Lamb and Jimmy Pankow and, you know, so many of the others, those are the three original members that are still in the group Chicago, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Grammy winners. They are going to be at Ravinia on Saturday night. It's going to be a Saturday in the park, so to speak. And I had a chance to catch up with my old buddy on a Zoom chat. We talked a little bit about playing for a hometown crowd. I've seen you perform recently, and it just looks like you're playing these songs for the very first time every time, putting the same kind of energy into them.
Right. Well, that's the idea. That's what we try to do. And we try to present like a whole cross-section of our entire career while we're on stage. And I think we're going to be doing two sets there. We'll do an hour, take a 20-minute break, and then play another hour or so, or hour and a half, whatever it is. But we have fun. We build the set so that hopefully everyone will enjoy themselves. And so far, that's exactly what's happening every night for us. So it's a lot of fun still doing it. And we will also have a couple of surprises at Ravinia. I'm not going to tell you what they're... I'm not even going to hint as to what it is.
Wow.
But you're going to have a fun time.
That's got to be exciting for you to play hometown venues, is it?
It is. It's great to be back there. And I remember before the band started, just before the band started, I went to Ravinia to see the Chicago Symphony and listen to Adolph Herseth. He was the lead trumpet player with the Chicago Symphony for, I think, 55 years. And now he has passed, but it was just amazing listening to him. And I had no money, so I was standing at the railing outside the pavilion, and you could hear everything clear as a bell.
I wonder how it feels for you guys to be back out on the road again. If I've done my math correctly, I believe this is your 58th year of touring.
Is that
right? Yeah.
Yes, it will be 59 years, I believe, February 15th of 2026. But it's amazing to have had two, like, almost separate careers. And yet, at the same time, they're not a separate career. It's like we started way back when, and here we are talking today. That's what it is like for me. It's like one long tour.
Meant to be heard live, that band, that's for sure.
Yeah, after all these years, they still sound amazing and really bring the whole energy to the whole thing. So it's Saturday, July the 5th, Ravinia. Tickets are still available, ravinia.org, if you're looking to have a good time this weekend.
Thanks, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.